Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Hear the gospel for this weekend. It's important for us to understand the context in which it is set in order for us to truly understand the message for us. Right now, the Israelites are leaving the city of Jerusalem, and they're going out into the desert to hear John the Baptist proclaim a great message. Now, this is important. Jerusalem is the hub city of all of Israel. It's the capital of Israel. It's the religious, political, and economic epicenter of the entire country of Israel. It's a place where all of your wants and desires are satisfied. Symbolically, Jerusalem is the source of every worldly desire. And yet people are leaving that. They're leaving Jerusalem because they know there is something out in that desert that is more powerful than anything in this world. It's the power of the Word of God that is proclaimed by John the Baptist. And so they go and they listen to John. What is his message? Repent, in order to prepare for the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Repent for the forgiveness of sins. That's a message that we must listen to and act upon ourselves. We too must repent for our sinfulness. Now, it's interesting to note, anyone who's studied or been a part of the 12-step process for recovering addicts, regardless of whatever addiction it may be, the first step that the person takes on the road to healing and recovery is to recognize and acknowledge that their addiction has power over them, that essentially they are powerless to their addiction. Once they have acknowledged that, then they begin the step-by-step process to recovery and healing. Well, in some ways, sin is like an addiction, and we too must look at our addiction, acknowledge it for what it is, and recognize and acknowledge that when it comes to sin, we are powerless against it, and we desperately need a Messiah, Jesus Christ, to help us overcome our sinfulness. Saint Benedict once said, "Don't listen to what people say, but instead watch what people do." I'll say that again. Don't listen to what people say, but instead watch what people do. Well, in the gospel, people are doing something. They are leaving Jerusalem, and they're going into the desert to listen to the word of God proclaimed by John. They are doing something. These people, they go out, they recognize their sinfulness, they receive the baptism from John, which is an outward expression of their desire to change and change for the better. And yet, they want to do something more. They ask John countless times, "What should we do?" Now, this is interesting. It's not just a specific group that is asking John this question. It's not just the soldiers. It's not just the tax collectors. The entire aggregate group of people that have been baptized are all asking John the same question. What should we do? Now, this question is a question of discipleship. More to it, it's the question of identity. I can't tell you how many Catholics have approached me over the past several years and have asked me a similar question. What can I do to help give me a more prayerful or spiritual life? What can I do to increase my faith? What can I do so that my life has more purpose and meaning for me? And see, that's what's precisely going on in the gospel. The people who have been baptized now want to do something more. They want to do something so as to eagerly prepare themselves to welcome the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, into their lives. I think that's a great question for us all during the season of Advent. Now, we have less than 2 weeks away, but I think that's a great question to ask of each and every one of us. What should I do? What should I do to help prepare myself so that I am properly ready to celebrate the great holy day of Christmas? Now, how does John respond to these questions? Well, first it says, the crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" John said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Well, right here, John is really getting down to the heart of stewardship, how we should use our possessions for the benefit of others rather than ourselves. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, "Everything that we have, everything that we possess, our home, our property, even our flesh, bone, blood, even our very thoughts are not ours. They're on loan from God." See, what Aquinas is trying to teach us is to alter our mindset such that all of the possessions that we have, including the greatest possession, our very life, is not ours, but instead it's God's. And God is loaning it to us for the express purpose of sharing it with others. Now, if we truly believe that, then we can do exactly what John commands of us. And in fact, we have. In our parish, for the past 4 weeks, we have been participating in a giving tree, in which people take ornaments off that tree, and they go and they purchase specific items of clothing or toiletries, and they bring it back to the parish. Furthermore, we also have the food drive that we've been running for the past 4 weeks, in which people every Sunday bring food to the church. Well, now, in the coming days ahead, our parishioners are going to take all those items, the food and the clothing, and go out and distribute them to the poor and the needy of our society. See, that's a great way in which our faith community now is following the command of John the Baptist to be good stewards of the many gifts that we've been given. Next, it says in the story, even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what must we do?" Now, it's important to know a little bit about these tax collectors. They were considered collaborators, helping to collect taxes that went to the Roman soldiers as well as tribute to Caesar in Rome. Now, these tax collectors, many of them were Israelites, Jews, who were working directly for the very people that were oppressing the Israelites. That's why tax collectors were hated by the Israelites. They were considered the scum of the earth. Worse yet, the tax collectors earned a living by skimming off the top of the taxes that they collected. Now, granted, Rome would issue a quota as far as how much these tax collectors would have to collect in a given time frame. But the tax collectors would then pay themselves a salary based upon an additional amount of tax that the people had to pay. Now, there were some unsavory and unethical tax collectors who, if they needed a new horse, new clothing, maybe a new addition onto their house, would simply increase the amount of tax the people had to pay. Now, you were forced to pay it whether you liked it or not, because the tax collectors were backed up by the Roman soldiers. If you refused to pay your taxes, the Roman soldiers would come to your house and throw you into prison. And how does John respond to their question? He says, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Essentially, he's telling them, stop using their power and their influence to extort money or take advantage of people. For us, what John is really telling or trying to teach us is, do we truly treat people justly? Not just about money, but regarding all decisions in our daily lives. We have to recognize that some of the decisions that we make in our daily life can have repercussions or ramifications on other people's lives. And so, do we truly treat all people fairly and justly, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not? It's a great soul-searching question for us all. Do we really treat all people fairly and justly? Finally, the soldiers approached John, and they asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" Now, these Roman soldiers were disciplined, yet there was always that temptation when given just a little bit of authority. There's always that temptation to use that authority to manipulate and to dominate. St. Augustine referred to this as the libido dominandi, the lust to dominate. Now, we see this throughout world history. Leaders of nations who were consumed by this lust to dominate. And what happened? They caused wars, even world wars. And the result was that thousands, even millions of people suffered from this. And so what John is trying to tell the soldiers, as well as us, is if we have any power or influence over people, we must always make sure that we never manipulate that power, and instead use that power and that influence for the betterment of others, rather than for our own self-interest. Notice also what John says at the very end. He tells the soldiers, "Be satisfied with your wages." Now, this is important for us to understand. Right now, we live in some very, even severe economic times. I know many parishioners here that have lost their jobs, have been laid off. I talk to them. I also listen to radio shows and people calling in and saying that they've been laid off or lost their jobs. Now, the one thing I find deeply disturbing when listening to all these people is that many of them will say, "I've lost my sense of identity." Now, mind you, I sympathize with people who've been laid off or lost their jobs. It's a source of frustration, anger, and even depression. And yet, what's so deeply disturbing is when they say they've lost their job and therefore they don't know who they are. Their whole identity was wrapped up in their career or their job. Well, that's wrong. Instead, our identity should always be rooted in our faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when it is, then regardless of what occupation we hold, whether it's plumber, electrician, nurse, doctor, lawyer, policeman, whatever it is, we will do the best that we possibly can in that profession. Why? Because we know who we are. We know who we are in relationship with Christ, and that is so vital for us. And we take that identity wherever we go, in whatever job we work in. And see, that identity helps us to persevere even through the most difficult times, like losing a job. My friends, they can take your job away from you, but they can never take away your identity. Your identity rooted in Jesus Christ. And that can never, ever be taken away from you. My friends, I strongly encourage you, take this gospel passage for this Sunday, take it to prayer, and put yourself in the place of those people that are asking that question, what should we do? We have only about a week and a half left of Advent, and therefore, this is a great Advent question for us all to pray over and meditate on. What should we do? What should we do in order to make sure that we are properly prepared to celebrate the great holy day and the mystery of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being born into our world? And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.